You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Eston, we're back, baby. Football season is afoot. Is afoot the right way to put that? I don't know, but week one is coming up tomorrow. We're recording Wednesday, September 8th. NFL kickoff special is Thursday. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Super Bowl champions, hosting the Dallas Cowboys. We'll be covering that game and all of the NFL week one slate. And this is a bittersweet episode for me, just because we have a special guest, and I'm excited to bring her on, but her being here makes me the third sharpest mind on my own podcast. So, of course, I got my handicap and hype man and gambling consigliere. You'll hear from him in a second, the great Eston McLaren, but making her a Bet Slippin' Podcast debut from Yahoo Sports, a sports gambling analyst and producer, the powerful Minty Betts. Minty, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing today? I'm super excited to be here and super excited for week one.
Damn right. We need to get you some intro music, like a stone cold glass break, and then right into it. I feel like the intro that I gave you is pretty solid. It just needs like a beat drop.
Yeah. Can anyone beatbox in here? That I think that'll be sufficient.
Eston, you can, right? That's on your Tinder profile.
I absolutely cannot. I'm sure you would love to try, but I'm going to veto that. But yeah, you're the editor, so you can add the glass break in post. But yeah, thank you, Minty, for joining. Thanks, Jeff, for the intro. And yeah, it's week one. I'm excited. We're excited. You know, most of these games are going to be great. You know, looking at the slate, we have a couple stinkers already, but hey, high hopes.
I'm excited about the primetime games with, you know, exception of the Sunday game, but we'll save that for the handicap or the analysis portion of it.
It could be the debut of Justin Fields. Well, how are you not excited?
Yeah.
Dalton's getting benched week one. Come on.
Could be the end of Andy Dalton as well. So, but we'll get to that in due time. I don't think we should kind of beat around the bush anymore. I think we should just dive right into it. Minty's probably got some TV appearances on her schedule today. I know she's got a lot going on for the NFL season. And I have an unreasonable amount of money on the Colorado Rockies, so I got to sweat that here pretty soon. But I'll turn it over to you, Eston. Are you going to kind of host the NFL week one slate intro for me? Or for us, okay. Excuse me.
We can do that. All right. Nice. So Thursday, not Thursday Night Football, but the NFL 2021 season opener, Dallas Cowboys off of a 6-10 season visit the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kicks off Thursday night at 8:20. Dallas comes in as a +300 underdog. The Bucs, obviously, rightful favorites here. -400, though, isn't a whole lot of fun. On the spread, Bucs lay in 8.5. And that is juiced slightly toward the Cowboys covering, but nearly evenly priced, and a total of 51.5. Bucks, you know, obviously going to be favorites here. Pretty comfortable saying that they're going to win this game opening season on home field. 8.5 seems pretty big to me. I'm leaning toward the Cowboys covering and keeping it within at least 8 here.
Minty, I want no part of this one. I mean, I will say some stuff, but do you have a handicap of this one or a pick?
You know what? I lost so much money betting on the Cowboys last season. My coworker and I say that we should send Jerry Jones an invoice. I also faded Tom Brady a lot last season and in years past, and I've learned my lesson, and I'm going to utilize what I've learned this season. I don't think I'll be betting on this game. 8.5 is a lot. And I think the line opened at Bucks -6, -6.5. So it's gone up quite a bit. It's important to know that the Bucks kept a ton of key players that contributed to their successes last year. But 8.5 is not an ideal number, because if they just win by a touchdown, you're just screwed. I would lean Bucks here, but I wouldn't touch this either. And that total is pretty high. I might look to the over. It was at 53, down to 51.5. Maybe I'll wait till kickoff to see if I can get 51 and bet the over, but we'll see.
Yeah, the over does kind of look enticing to me as well, just because we saw last year the Cowboys sneak into the back door or just pile up points in garbage time with Dak Prescott before he got injured. I agree with the line of where it is. I could see the Bucks just trampling the Cowboys and then the Cowboys helping the over cash by, scoring again garbage time points. As far as like the sides, this price has gotten away from me. I'm seeing some 9.5s. I know our sponsor Tipico has it at 8.5 right now, but it is ticking up. And I mean, it's getting to the point where it feels unplayable. So I'm with Minty on this one in passing. Officially, which is kind of lame. I don't want to start off with a pass in the NFL kickoff game, and I'm going to be in Vegas tomorrow. So, like, I feel as though I should be betting it. The only way I there are a couple different ways I would attack this game. I already got it in as a teaser, a leg at 6.5, so I got it down to a half point, and I put that with the Los Angeles Rams, and I got them at -7 earlier this summer. So. Bucks just need to win by one, and then the Rams need to win by two for me to hit the teaser. That's pretty square teaser that I feels like most of the betting public is going to be on. So I'm actually not going to take that to the window with me in my best bets, but that is how I'd get down on the Bucks. I do think they cover and win by double digits, but I don't like it enough to play it. Also, I'm considering entering one of the Survivor contests in Vegas, and I might just play the Bucks to win outright and get an easy one in my week one Survivor. And then if they lose, I'll just re-enter in the morning before I fly out. So that's where I'm at here on the Thursday night football game. How about you, Eston?
Okay, so week one, and you're already passing on the opening game and, you know, hedging against yourself in the Survivor contest. So great start, Jeff. yeah, I want to take the Cowboys here to cover just because it's so big, and I feel it's such just a blind public play to bet the reigning Super Bowl champs at home. It's really hard to see any path to the Bucks coming out and laying a stinker, though. And we're also going to see what the Cowboys are pretty early, right? Like if these preseason and training camp Dak Prescott injury, you know, reports are evident early on, you know, kiss goodbye to the season for Dallas. But I am intrigued by the 8.5. I don't know if I'll bet it outright. I may take that with another game later on in the week. I probably go to the under the 51.5 opposite of you two, just because of those Dak injury concerns and, you know, how strong that Bucks defense is and how they're bringing back the entire unit pretty much. I'm on Dallas plus 8.5 and under 51.5 hesitantly, but you know, we all need some action on the opening game.
What's the news this is moving on? Because Zach Martin got, I think, COVID and is probably going to miss Sunday's game. He's their best offensive lineman and supposedly the guy they plan on running Zeke behind mostly. But that happened a few days ago and this line keeps going up. Does either one of you have like intel on why the line is moving even more so?
Not really. I'm seeing a lot of money and a lot of bets on just Tampa Bay. And I think people are just hammering Tom Brady. I mean, we thought he was on his last leg of his career last season, and then he proved everyone wrong. So maybe people just love to bet on Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, the game's kicking off tomorrow, so the limits are going up. So syndicates are starting to just fire away at Tampa Bay. Maybe that's what it could be. Again, the line's kind of getting away from me. I like it in a teaser leg, which I already played, but it's lame to pass post here in my podcast. So officially, I'm just going to pass with a lean on the over.
Okay, we'll move ahead to the Sunday slate then. The 1 o'clock games, Arizona at Tennessee. Arizona coming off the 8-8 season. Tennessee went to the playoffs at 11-5. The hosts are favored here, -150. Cardinals plus 122, road dogs. Tennessee laying 2.5 points, and that's juice toward them covering. higher total of 52.5 points. A little bit of vig on the under, though. Tennessee plus 2,000 to win the Super Bowl. Arizona plus 4,000, but seemingly a popular pick, at least on social media. A lot of hype around Kyler Murray once again, off of a semi-disappointing sophomore season, perhaps. Brought in a couple of household veteran names in AJ Green and JJ Watt. Not really sure what either one of them has left in the tank, but if they're going to be playing week one, they should be at their best anyway. Feelings on this one, Minty? I'm hesitant. Or no, I'm pretty confidently on Arizona for an outright upset here at plus 122.
Love it. This one is tough for me because I love the Cardinals and I actually really like Kyler Murray. I think that he has a ton of weapons to work with. But playing in such a competitive division doesn't really help. And the season opener against the Titans in Tennessee doesn't really help either. I think they'll be able to stop the run, and that's kind of all they need to do against the Titans. They need to stop Derrick Henry. And the Cardinals in the underdog role, I love betting on them. They're 8-3-2 against the spread as road dogs. Tennessee has a lot of new faces this season, so I think it'll take some time to get the pieces moving correctly. So I will ride with the Cardinals plus 3, and I'll take them on the money line too.
I like it. Jeff, that's one for Minty in my books. Are you going to side with the two of us here, or are you going to make yourself the villain on this show?
No, I am going to cop out on this one as well and just pass. I lean to the Titans, but what is like 90% of the betting public back in the Titans? So I don't want to, be a sheeple and follow the crowd on that one. And I think Minty made some great points, and so did you. The loss of offensive coordinator Arthur Smith going and taking the Atlanta Falcons head coaching job. It could mean some regression for the Tennessee Titans offense. I don't know. We'll see. I think Julio Jones, I always mess it up. I think it's Julio. Does anyone know?
Julio.
Confirmed Julio.
Jesus. And I've been watching him since his freshman year of college. Julio Jones. I think he's going to have a huge year. That's not like a hot take. I actually lean to the over 51.5, but that's also square. It seems like a lot of people on the over as well, but the Cardinals were first in neutral situation, seconds per play last season. The Titans were third. Cardinals had the second best pressure rate allowed on the offensive line, and the Titans had the second worst defensive pressure rate. So I think Kyler Murray is going to be pretty comfortable back there. And like Minty said, he has some new weapons to work with. And I think it's a make or break year for not so much Kyler, but definitely his head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. So I could see them coming out here and starting on the right foot. Also going back to the over, Tennessee's defense is really bad and third down in the red zone, which is even more of a reason to have confidence in Cardinals having success on offense. Titans had the fourth best offensive DVOA last year, second best offensive EPA per play. They were 12-3-1 to the over last year, which was the highest rate of overs in the NFL. And they're also 4-0 to the over in home games with a total of 51.5 or greater. So we talked about this in the preview. I think Arizona's defense is significantly overrated. They were 5-11 in the over-under record, so 11 unders last year. But they were playing a whole bunch of backup quarterbacks. We talked about this again in the preview. They played Dwayne Haskins, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Tua as a rookie, Cam Newton, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, CJ Beathard, and John Wolford. So I think their defensive numbers are fluffed up. Plus their secondary is pretty sketchy. Buda Baker is the only guy back there. Malcolm Butler just retired, so they could get gashed. I lean to the over, but the one-sided action has me nervous. So,
all right, good enough. A little easier of a pick, maybe. Plenty of road favorites this week. One of the bigger ones, Minnesota Vikings, off of a 7-9 season, visiting the 4-11-1 in 2020 Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 1:00. Vikings minus 190 on the money line, Bengals plus 155 on the other side. 3.5 points for the Vikes, minus 108. Cincinnati plus 3.5, minus 112. 47.5 in what's projected to be a bit of a lower scoring game. Big discrepancy here is in the Super Bowl odds. The Vikings plus 4,000 and the Bengals at plus 20,000, now sharing those odds with the Detroit Lions and Houston Texans. Joe Burrow's back. Ja'Marr Chase is in town. Vikings defense is awfully improved, though. I like Minnesota by more than 4.
Minty, jump in there. School. School, Minty.
I totally get it. But I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, and I often let my love for him cloud my judgment. Offensive line has improved a bit since Burrow last played, and that's important because he essentially had no protection last year, which led to his injury. I do like the Vikings this year as their defense has improved, and they have arguably the best wide receiver duo in Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. But the Bengals have Joey Burrow back, and Burrow gets former college teammate Ja'Marr Chase added to a great list of receiving core. The Bengals were 9-6-1 against the spread last season compared to the 6-10 against the spread Vikings. So I'll take my chances with the home dog. I like Bengals +3, +3.5. Hopefully maybe it gets there on game day. And I kind of lean the over here.
Okay. So I don't have a real play on the sides. I do like the under here in this one. You know, there's significant reverse line movement on the total, at least according to the action reports that I'm reading. Close to 80% of the bets placed are on the over, but the total is down from the 49-point opener. What do you have it on your book, Eston?
The line right now is 47.5, okay. -115 on the under.
Down 1.5 despite like heavy one-sided action towards the over. This should be very alarming because I think most people expect both offenses to be better than both defenses. The thing is both offensive lines are pretty terrible, and it might be rough sledding for each offense. Minnesota Vikings had one of the most, I think the second most adjusted games lost according to Football Outsiders on defense, which is just a games lost due to injury. They're getting 3 defensive linemen back, including pass rush pass rush specialist Danielle Hunter. They get Michael Pierce, who opted out for COVID last year. And they also added Richardson to the defensive line. So I could see both defensive lines just mauling the offensive lines. And Cincy defensive line is sneaky deep. They added Trey Hendrickson from the Saints. They get back DJ Reader, who was an offseason addition last year, but missed most of the season with injury. And I think that I think the reverse line movement is kind of startling as well. I'm with Minty in the sense that I like Joe Burrow. I like his chances to keep this game close and just really give give the Bengals a chance to win every single game. So I'm not crazy about laying 3 in the hook on the road with Minnesota. So I'll just pass on the side, but I like the under.
I'm with you on the under, and I think we touched on the passing attack of both teams. Obviously, stars on both sides, but both teams excellent running backs as well. Dalvin Cook for the Vikings, Joe Mixon for the Bengals. I think both teams will look to lean on that early. I can see this being a slower paced game by design. I'm going to go with the juice and the -115 on the under 47.5. Minty, any final thoughts there? Or are you ready for some Seahawks Colts action?
Ooh, I'm ready for the Seahawks and Colts.
Okay. Seahawks -145 road favorites, Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts +120. Colts are 2.5-point road dogs, +100 there. Seahawks -125 to win by 3 or more. Over under 49.5, a little bit of vig on the over at -115. Seahawks +2,000 for the Super Bowl, Indy +3,000. Seahawks 9.5 win projection, and the Colts 8.5. Now, obviously, the stories coming into this one are the COVID outbreaks and injury outbreaks the Colts had all through training camp and preseason. Carson Wentz hasn't had a whole lot of time with his new team here. Obviously, used to seeing the Seahawks start pretty strong and then just fizzling late. More of the same from them this year, a hot start on the road against the Colts. Jeff, you go ahead on this one.
I actually spazzed at the news of Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson having the same, I think, foot injury and surgery, and they were both listed from anywhere, being out from anywhere from 5 to 12 weeks. So I already bet a nickel on the Seahawks at -2.5 and just have continuously regretted it as the season is drawn closer. I'm high on the Indianapolis Colts and then taking a flyer on Carson Wentz. Maybe I'm a sucker, but I think it's going to pay off. And I mean, there's a lot of things that the Colts do well between the offensive line. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have a huge season out of the backfield for them. And they have legit all pro talent on all sides or on all levels of the defense. So I am nervous about this one, but you know, the Seahawks are, they win close games. This is a close line. All the Indianapolis offseason turmoil leads me to believe it's going to take a little while longer for the Colts to get their shit together this season. And, you know, based on what we saw last season at a Carson Wentz, you know, I'm taking a flyer on him, but based on, like, you know, recent performance, I don't have a whole bunch of faith in him. So I guess officially I get a heavy lean to the Seahawks -2.5, but it's not going to come to the window with me, I'll tell you that.
Minty, we're pretty close to our myself and still the cap on positive Carson Wentz talk. So what's your take on this game? And be careful.
Hi. So I actually think the Colts have a great offensive core, despite the whole quarterback thing. We know Carson Wentz is not too reliable in the health department. The Seahawks have a ton of issues on the defensive end, but I love Russell Wilson under pressure and I like them at this short number. So I love the Seahawks -2.5 here. It kind of sucks because I think this line opened as Colts being home favorites, and then it reversed after the whole Carson Wentz news, and then the line just never really moved back. But I would still bet on the Seahawks, actually.
I don't get that. The line movement is so interesting to me, right? Because it did go from Colts -2.5, -3, depending on where you saw it, swung all the way back to 2.5. But as the news has gotten, I guess, more Colts positive, right? Like, it looks like they're going to have Nelson and Wentz out there. And they're even, well, I just got a notification that Wentz is in full pads practicing today. So, I mean, he's good to go. You'd expect the line to tick back. Well,
other than being bad, like, he's healthy. So that's good.
Being bad and made of glass. Like, yeah, I guess.
For sure. But like, that stuff was accounted for in the original line. And I'm just confused on how it's not ticking back the other way with this, I guess, positive injury news. So I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of tripping. Like, I'm good with my bet. I already made a big bet. I'm not going to lose any more money on this game. So I'm good here. Again, heavy lean with the Seahawks.
Okay. The Sam Darnold revenge game, the one everyone's had circled all offseason. Carolina Panthers host the New York Jets. Both teams horrible last year. Jets 2-14, Carolina 5-11. Christian McCaffrey back in town, though, and you know, a new regime under Darnold, and he's facing his old team for any extra motivation he needs other than retaining a starting job, which should be motivation enough for him all season. Carolina -230, Jets +180. Jets are 5.5-point road dogs. Robert Saleh, the new head coach, Adam Gase is gone. So there goes my staple Jets handicap of always bet against them, regardless of the number. Can the Panthers win by 6 or more? Minty.
I think the books are giving the Panthers too much credit. Sam Darnold, you said, will be facing his former team. And there are high hopes for Zach Wilson and the Jets, though. I don't really know what to make of this team because their O-line and secondary was super questionable. I lean the Jets to cover because that's a lot of points with them. I mean, I know the Jets have lost by way more, but I'm not really trusting the Panthers here. And I think I'll trust the new head coach, trust the rookie quarterback, and take the Jets. But that's a lean. I'm definitely not betting this game.
Yeah, Matt Rhule made some big strides last year. And Christian McCaffrey back is obviously going to be huge. Sam Darnold's probably an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater, maybe. You know, Tony Romo, though, coming out as a big Zach Wilson fan. A lot of people like the Robert Saleh hire. I'm with you at Jets +5.5. I think that's a very manageable number for them. Carolina not really scaring me coming into this season. Jeff, you were big on them last year. I know a lot of that was Teddy Bridgewater based. Are you standing by the Sam Darnold-led Carolina Panthers?
No, I'm with you guys with the lean, on the Jets +5. Everyone says Zach Wilson's going to be a stud and Robert Saleh is a player's coach who everyone's excited to play, or everyone who's played for him gets excited to play, or was excited about him. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You guys get what I'm... People like playing for Robert Saleh. That's just the point. Sorry. But I do like the under 45. I like it a lot, actually, and it's coming to the window with me. So I'm going to spend a minute here to talk about it. Now, when I started my prep for the NFL Week 1 slate on Monday... Actually, that's a lie. I started back in like July, but like technically for this podcast, Monday, 80% of the money and 72% of the bets were on the over, which steamed the total from 43 to 45. At this point, when I saw this, I was bugging. Like, how could 72% of the betting public be taking the over in a Jets versus Sam Darnold game? How could that possibly be? So I looked at it again yesterday, and it updated, and it became a pros versus Joes game. So now the money, like probably, was it 56% of the money is on the under, but 70% of the bets is on the over. So what I'm thinking is the sharps or the syndicates went in on Tuesday or overnight on Monday and just hammered the under. I already bet a pretty good I put a pretty good stab at the under already, not enough to move the money or move the price or, you know, switch the betting splits. That's much sharper, much deeper pockets than me are making that move. But I think it's ridiculous that I get to fade the public and bet the under in a Jets Panthers game. Jets had a high pass rush and run-stop win rate. They were very bad at pass blocking and run blocking win rates. PFF grades Carolina's O-line as 30th. Jets have some just maulers up front with Quinnen Williams. He was the 12th ranked defensive lineman on PFF out of 126. They got Shaq Lawson, who's the 28th ranked PFF edge rusher. And I think Carolina's defense could be solid this season. We talked about this in the NFC South preview podcast that we did, but this D-line's nice. Look out for edge pass rusher Brian Burns to have a breakout year. Burns' breakout year could help Hassan Reddick, Gross Matos, and the newly acquired Shaq Lawson, aforementioned Shaq Lawson. They also got beefcakes in the middle with the 7th pick in last year's draft, Derek Brown, and an above-average defensive tackle, Daquan Jones. Also, Rhule played the 4th slowest offense in seconds per play last year, and I'd assume New York is going to be playing up-tempo with a rookie quarterback. Also, Jets head coach Saleh brought San Francisco's pass game coordinator with him to New York, and San Francisco had the 2nd slowest offense last year. So I'm taking the under 45 here for all the reasons listed.
Works for me. I think my favorite play is Jets plus 5.5.
Alrighty.
Final thoughts, Minty? Close us out.
I lean the Jets 5.5, and I really like the under as well for all the points that you just listed, Jeff. So
thanks, Minty. Let's hope we cash this one, huh?
All those same game parlay fans out there. There you go. Jacksonville Jaguars 1-15 at Houston Texans 4-12. Oh, baby. Jacksonville minus 150 road favorite. Houston plus 122. Home underdog. Get used to that. Jacksonville minus 2.5, minus 125. Texans plus 2.5, plus 100. And I'm going to call it a high total of 44.5 here. Tyrod Taylor versus Trevor Lawrence's NFL debut. Oh, boy. Do we have a reason to watch this one?
I mean, I'm excited. I have a Jacksonville Jaguars to win the AFC South future ticket that I'm holding. I think Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer are gonna fit, and they're gonna make this team pretty good, even in the first year. That being said, this is like the quintessential square trap bet. You know, Jacksonville was 1-15 last year, hence the number one overall quarterback drafted and the new coach. So, should they be laying 3 on the road? I don't think so. I'm actually thinking about using Jacksonville in my survivor pool instead, because like this would be the best time to use them against the Houston Texans in the beginning of the season, right? That's probably the It's one of the only two games that Jacksonville's favored in. So I know everyone's going to be going for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. So if the Bucs lose, that would just help my survivor chances. But I just feel like every schnook, every square is going to bet the Jacksonville Jaguars -3. And it's probably going to win, but I don't want any part of it.
Hey, week one of last season was the best time to bet the Indianapolis Colts as well. And Jacksonville came in and got that upset, ended most survivor pools, including mine. But this, it's gone up to 3.5. It was -2.5 this morning. That still feels small, right? Like if this is any other team than the young, unproven, new look Jaguars, the spread's huge, right? Like that, if the Texans keep this game within 3 points, probably the only time they do that this season. Like this team is the worst on paper team I think I've ever seen in my life.
I don't disagree.
Which is pretty crazy because the Texans signed a lot of like pretty experienced players. I mean, they have Mark Ingram and Brandon Cooks. And a couple years ago, we were like, woo, like wanted them on our fantasy teams. And now we want like no part of them. I feel like this matchup is like a Thursday night football game. Remember how bad the Thursday night football games were last season? It was like, you know, this is essentially a Thursday night football game. Expectations are so low for these two. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm going to one-up that. Like, this is the first season of Thursday night football where everyone wasn't used to the short practice weeks. This is dialing back. I think the level of Thursday night football has improved the last few years. Mm-hmm. I think this is a retro Thursday night football game. Like, this is ugly.
Yeah, this one is ugly and definitely not betting this one. But God, I keep going back and forth because Trevor Lawrence, we saw he was great in college and we know Urban Meyer was a great coach, but the NFL is just a different animal. I mean, it's his first year coaching professionally in this league. Tyrod Taylor is like a backup quarterback to me. I have no opinions on Tyrod Taylor and I just like... Do I go with the backup quarterback with the more experienced veteran players, or do I go with a first-time NFL coach with a rookie quarterback? I lean the Jags here because this is one of the only times we'll see them favored, like you said earlier, Jeff. But, man, I don't know. I just cannot truly bet on this game.
Yeah, how bad? Just think about how you'll feel if you're holding a Jacksonville Jaguars ticket and they lose. Just think about that. You don't want to go through that in week one.
Mm-mm. No, it's certainly not a survivor play for me. But like maybe if Bill O'Brien was still head coach of the Texans, that's a reason to think they have something here. But like, you know, Urban Meyer's debut on for the Jags, but he's a lot more experienced as a head coach mm-hmm. than David Culley. There's just nothing to like about this team. It's awful. I got to go with the Jags. -3.5, that's fine. Obviously prefer 2.5, but I don't know if there's a number I would pass on. I don't know if there's a number you can bet the Texans at all season.
I can't wait to check back in with you Sunday around 4 o'clock. I hope you, I hope you cash it. Hey.
Hey, I laid it out first that this could be the same scenario reverse on the Jaguars as we saw last season. But, oh, I if that's what happens, I want to watch this game less.
Oh, Texans. I could totally see the Texans winning this first one and then losing the next 16.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tyrod Taylor.
Very on brand.
Yeah, this will be what gets him another contract after this horrible season. Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Falcons in a bit more of an exciting game. Well, two more destined to be not playoff teams, but anyway, Falcons -170 home favorites coming off their 4-12 season because the Eagles were 4-11-1 last season. Handing things over to Jalen Hurts, and the Eagles are +3.5 underdogs, -125 on that side, even money on the Falcons to cover and win by 4 or more. Moderate total of this one, 48.5. No, I love the over, I think, -108. I have a tough time picking a side here, probably because of personal interest. So I'm gonna go ahead and lock in over 48.5. You two discuss the sides. Minty, have at it.
I'm also kind of torn because can we really expect a whole lot from the Falcons? I mean, they continued to disappoint and lose big leads. bets and just plain like losing. And the Falcons were only favored at home 5 times last year and covered only once. So as much as I don't want to trust the Eagles, I think I really want to see Jalen Hurts and like Devontae Smith just pop off in their first regular season game together. But then also Arthur Smith is in for the Falcons as their new head coach. So maybe we'll see some great things from Atlanta this season. I'm really torn. I was leaning the Eagles, but I don't know. This one, it just has to be a pass for me.
Yeah, I'm going to pass the side, but I'm going to go oppo you on the total. I'm going under 48.5, which is where the money is and where the public is as well. So both the pros and Joes are on the over here, but I'm fading you guys and the great Esten. But back to the side, I kind of got to recuse myself from this one since I bet under in the Phillies regular season win total. So like, I'm just biased. Like, of course I don't think they're going to win week one, and you know, 3.5 isn't a number that's too high for the Falcons to cover, but you know, they are getting a new coaching staff like you and Minty, or Esten and Minty mentioned, I believe. And I don't think there's going to be a huge drop off offensively with the absence or with Julio Jones going to Tennessee, but they're certainly not better or more talented offensively. We've seen this total steam up from the 46-point opener, and I feel like it should be back at that number, not at 48.5 at this point. So the last three Eagles-Falcons games, their totals were 44, 30, and 25. Now, Carson Wentz and or Nick Foles played in those games, and so did Julio Jones. But the best players on both teams played defense, and most of Philly's defensive line played in those three games. They're completely healthy. The offensive line is completely healthy. And I think Eagles are going to lean into the run and have a little bit of success, even though the Falcons' rush defense is pretty good. So I don't think they're going to give up a lot of explosive plays, but I think the Eagles could keep the chains moving, and I don't see them getting home on offense with Jalen Hurts, who I'm just not a big believer in. I think he's a gutty pro that's going to be in the league for a long time, but I think he's pretty similar and has a very similar career trajectory as like a Tyrod Taylor. He's going to be a career backup. And I actually think the Falcons defense is a little bit underrated. Dean Pease is their new DC, who's a 70-year-old veteran, has been calling defenses and doing a good job calling defenses for a long time. Well, the Eagles rookie coach, I think, is making his play calling debut. If he's not making his play calling debut, then his OC is making his play calling debut. And no one on this team, on this Eagles coaching staff, has called plays. So I don't expect this offense to be that good anyways, and I'll take the under 48.5. Esten, you're looking a little frozen on my end. Are you good over there?
I'm back now. You got me. Perfect. Hey, there we go. Sorry about that. I love the over here. I'm not impressed by either of these defenses. Calvin Ridley, I think, well, mentioned last week, he's my pick to lead NFL in receiving yards this year. And then the Eagles, if they can do anything, it's going to be on the offensive side. I hate both of these defenses, really, is my main point. But the sides scare me on this one again, for all the reasons Minty pointed out of how the Falcons are, you know, phonies, duds, whatever term you want to make. Over for me. Moving on to what's anticipated to be the biggest blowout of the week, and for good reason, the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Detroit Lions. Both teams awful last season, but San Francisco supposed to turn it around with plus 1,200 odds to win the Super Bowl. Detroit, meanwhile, plus 20,000. Niners are minus 7.5 point road favorites, minus 108. Detroit minus 112 at plus 7.5. Over under 44.5. Largely going to be one sided scoring in this one, based on the spread. Any reason to believe in Detroit this week or ever, Minty?
All right, this is sweet and simple. Niners by 7.5 or whatever the point spread is. This offense is loaded. hopefully stays healthy throughout the whole season. But for the season opener, I think all the advantage goes to San Francisco. Jared Goff is starting for the Lions, and the Niners have played against Goff several times and know him very well. Goff is looking to revive his career in Detroit. And I don't really hate Jimmy G as San Francisco's starter. I don't have a problem with that. This defense is also pretty freaking good as they get Nick Bosa back from injury. They also have Dee Ford and Fred Warner. Who's that? I'll look to the under as a lean due to this defense. But man, it's pretty low. 45.5. I mean, the books agree it's going to be a low scoring game and not much is going to come out of it. But I really like the Niners here.
Jeff, any reason to go against that excellent pick and, you know, what seems like the logical choice?
Oh, yes. And do you know how excited I am to be fading the 49ers? I've been waiting the whole summer to fade the 49ers. I mean, who's betting Detroit? Who's betting Detroit? 90% of the money is on the 49ers, right? What's the public at right now? The public is at 93% of the public is betting the 49ers.
Sometimes the public's not wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just because you took the 49ers and Essen took the 49ers, don't take this as me firing shots at you. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I just have my notes and I'm kind of reading off of them while paraphrasing them. But 93% of the money of the bets and 90% of the money is on the 49ers. Yet the line opened at 8. And is coming down to 7.5. Who knows what it ends at? But again, you got to wonder why would anybody bet Detroit? And doesn't that give some value to Detroit? Now, I don't know how you feel about trends, Minty. Esten, you hate trends, right?
I hate them.
Love them.
All right. So I'm looking at this one trend that I found that I'm excited about. Week one home teams getting 7.5 or more points are 3-1 against the spread since 2011. So not a huge sample size, right? Because why would there be? How often are teams getting 7.5 at home in week one? It's pretty rare. Let's go back and look at the times that these have happened. And I know you're saying context is key. Well, I'm going to give you some context here, Esten. The context is in the price. The 49ers have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl, and the Lions have the second worst odds to win the Super Bowl, i.e. one team's projected to be really good by the market and the other is expected to suck. Right, no argument here. Detroit Lions should suck. However, home teams cover in this spot. In 2017, the last instance a home team was getting 7.5 at home in week one was the Steelers laying 10 at the Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh had the fifth best title odds. Cleveland had the third worst title odds. This was an 0-16 Hugh Jackson coached Cleveland Browns that covered with Deshaun Kizer, at quarterback versus a 13-3 Steelers team with Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, AB, TJ Watt, and Ryan Shazier was still on the team. But the Browns covered in a 21-18 loss. The next instance this happened, was Patriots laying 10.5 at the Bills. Patriots, 2013. Patriots, fourth best title odds. Bills, fourth worst title odds. Patriots, listen to this coaching staff. They had Brian Daboll, Brian Flores, Joe Judge, Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia, and Patrick Graham, who is the defensive coordinator of the Giants and will be offered a head coaching job in following years. Pats finished 12-4, lost in the AFC title game to the Denver Broncos. The Bills finished in last place. They were 6-10. They were quarterbacked that year by E.J. Manuel, Thad Lewis, coached by Doug Marrone, and the Bills covered in a 23-21 loss. E.J. Manuel and Thad Lewis are not better than Jared Goff. That's not the case. And the most analogous game in this trend is the 2012 meeting between the Eagles laying 9.5 at the Browns. Philly had the fourth best title odds. Browns were dead last. It turned out to be Andy Reid's final season in Philly, who, like Kyle Shanahan, is an offensive guru that made it to a Super Bowl, hadn't won one at that point, and was dealing with injury issues with the Eagles that season. Eagles ended up finishing 4-12. Incidentally, it was also Pat Shurmur's final season as the head coach of the Browns, who finished 5-11, but the Browns covered in a 17-16 loss. Lastly, Dan Campbell, biting kneecaps off. No one's excited about Dan Campbell, right? He's a dumb jock. He's going to be a poor situational coach, and he's not going to help the offense and Jared Goff. But, and you're going to hear me say this all season, Minty and Eston, this is football. This isn't rocket science. In fact, Detroit had a rocket scientist as their head coach last year, and everyone hated him, right? The organization is going to come in more motivated just playing under a different coach, like a complete doppelganger of the previous coach. I'm taking the Lions +7.5. It's my best bet of week one, and I'm so happy to be fading you guys and the public. Let's do this. Let's go, Lions.
That's your best bet.
Absolutely.
The public also prefers cake to salad. Some things are just too obvious. You're overthinking this one. Mentioned a lot of divisional matchups, bring a lot more intensity. Lions have no reason to up their game against the Niners. I don't even believe in the Niners. We talked about this in our preseason shows. I don't think they should be +1200 win the Super Bowl, but they should be -7.5-point favorites against the Lions. Come on. Dan Campbell.
Well, you'll be less offended by my following picks, so.
Okay.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Do either of you have a strong take on the over-under here, 44.5? I don't know if we touch on that.
No, I think the Lions are just going to offensively demolish the 49ers, so I could see this game going over. I'm just kidding about that. No, actually, it'll definitely help my Lions +7.5 this game. is sub 40. So that's what I'm hoping for. But I'm all market, all trends on this one. I usually like to go with like matchups, injury reports and all that stuff, but nah, I'm fading the price. I'm fading the public.
Yeah. You usually like to go for players who are actually playing for these teams, not playing for two different teams 5 years ago. Yeah. Okay. I get you. trends, baby. Los Angeles Chargers off a 7-9 season. He's an at the Washington football team, 7-9 as well, but made the playoffs. NFC least, -115 on the Chargers as favorites, but the spread has the football team at -0.5. Basically a pick 'em here. Bolt up. Is that what we're doing?
I like the Chargers here. I love this matchup, because I think it's going to be a great game, but I'm pretty high on the Chargers this year. I have them going over their win total of 9.5 +120. I also like football team to take the NFC East, but I'm going to go with the Chargers to win this one, especially at a short number. They're under a new head coach who has some great talent to work with on defense, although unproven. I think he'll do pretty well his first year. Justin Herbert, a phenomenal young quarterback who, although had one of the worst offensive lines, still did so well last year. Now this O-line is rebuilt, and I like them to win their first game on the road. I think it'll be super close. So I agree with the line here. But I think there will be a lot of important defensive plays. So I kind of lean the under, but man, that total is really low. 44.5. I don't know. Chargers for me.
Yeah, I like I said, I think I'm there. And the total, yeah, it's very low. Obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the big addition for Washington. At least I and some of the listeners know Jeff's positive thoughts on him. Justin Herbert coming off the rookie of the year season. Jeff, you shook my head when I said bolt up, but you are so anti-Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm perplexed. What are you doing here?
I know. I'm a sucker for these action reports or these betting splits. I lean to the Washington football team because it's the pros versus Joes game with the Sharps backing the Washington football team. Also, the three new offensive linemen for the Chargers are questionable. They'll probably get on the field, right? But, Brian Bulaga, Corey Linsley, who's the highest graded center by PFF last year, both questionable. And then Slater, the rookie, first round pick at left tackle who came from Northwestern and didn't even play last year, and he's questionable. I'm sure they'll all get back out there, but I wonder how quickly this offensive line could come together against just an absurd Washington defensive line. I'm not high on Washington this year. I think there's going to be significant regression, mostly because of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but like this defensive line is nasty and they could make it a nightmare. Plus, I mean, you know, it's a West Coast team playing an early start in the East Coast. Rookie head coach, like Minty was saying, I just don't see any value in the Chargers. Like Minty was saying, I agree with her that I'm high on the Chargers long term. Not so much on Washington. I disagree with her on that point. But, you know, I'm going to stay away from it because of the market report and because I like the Chargers more. So it's like conflicting.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel, the other offseason addition for Washington, he's battling injury this week, has battled it kind of all training camp, and he's questionable to play. If he plays, not expected to be very good, just limited practice time. Once again, I think that's factoring into the low number here, but it's so low that it scares me away just because of the talent available on both sides. Still, I think my only play here is Chargers minus 115. Final thoughts, or are we moving on to Buffalo?
Let's move on.
All right. Steelers off of the 12-4 season visit the 13-3 Bills. Steelers plus 220 road dogs. Big number, bigger number, plus 6.5 points on the road. Bills Mafia back. Full capacity crowd at their newly named Highmark Field Stadium. Minus 6.5, minus 110 on both sides. Over under 48.5, minus 108 over, minus 112 under. Super Bowl odds here. Steelers plus 4,000, Bills plus 1,000. Win totals, similar discrepancy. Steelers at 8.5, Buffalo at 11.5. Josh Allen getting all the hype off of a great season, career best season. I think for me, it's too much hate on Ben Roethlisberger for how he finished the 2020 campaign. He was pretty darn good through the start of the season. I think we see a return to that form early on at full health. I'm on Steelers plus 6.5 here. Can either of you talk me off of it? Minty, take first crack.
No, I will not talk you out of it. I actually have a lot to say about this game. First of all, the Bills win total 11.5, way too high. I'm actually on the under at plus 120. I think there was too much hype. What they had 13 wins last season, but before that, they didn't have that till... I don't have that in my notes, actually. They didn't have over 11 wins in like a decade. So I'm not on this win total over. A bet that I put in this year was Bills under 11.5 wins. Moving on to the actual game, the Steelers possessed the worst rushing offense in 2020. And I bet the Steelers at plus 7 when it opened up. So I would still bet them at plus 6.5 because I do think they have a chance to win outright here. I'd bet them on the money line too at whatever, plus 225. I forgot actually what you said earlier, but I can't pass that up. I think them being this big of a favorite is a little too much. So Steelers are 9-3 against the spread, and I know you don't like trends, Esten, against the Bills, but that was dating back to 93.
Great Minty, I know now Esten's pissed.
Yeah, now he's pissed by both of us now. I know the Bills are a hot young team with like such high expectations, but their defense showed regression. They struggle against the run, and yeah, there's a great chance they went outright at home, but I really love the Steelers here. And on to the total, it opened at 51.5. I bet them at 51, and now it's down to 49, 48.5 at some places. And I hammered the under because Pittsburgh's defense continues to be one of the best. They had the third best passing defense last year, allowed the third least points per game, and ranked third in forced turnovers. I think it's a perfect matchup because Josh Allen throws the ball a lot and Buffalo's offense averages the second most points a game. Another trend that I actually follow just blindly is Steelers on the road are 8-21-1 over under their last 30 road games. That means the total's gone under in 21 of their last 30 road games. And typically these totals are set lower than 50. So Mike Tomlin on the road is able to control the tempo so well. So I loved the under. I would not bet it now. But this might be a great teaser spot, honestly. That's all I have. I bet the under at 51, and I bet the Steelers plus 7, would probably still bet them plus 6.5.
Hey, like any trends better, I like them when they back up my original thought, right? So yes. I'll let those slide, Minty. Jeff, thanks. You're still in the doghouse on that front. But
because it's my first time here, so he has to be nice.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to talk a bunch of shit and Slack behind your back, let me tell
at
you.
At the end, he's like, oh my God, that girl.
Okay. I'm not going to even tell you what he messaged me just a second ago.
Hey, best guest we've had for the 2021 NFL season, Minty Betts. Jeff, are you going against those trends or are you diving in as you so full-heartedly did before?
Honestly, that handicap was just wonderful. I'm with you guys. I'm with Minty on this one. You know, in a nutshell, the +6.5 for the Steelers is disrespectful. It really is disrespectful. Now, last year, these teams met in week 14. I'm pretty sure the Steelers were 12-1 at this point. Maybe that's off. But either way, Steelers were in first place. Buffalo Bills were in first place. But the Bills were favored 2. And now they're favored 2 at home. And now they're favored 6.5. That doesn't make any sense. There's no way the Steelers got 4.5 points worse from week 14 last year to this year. It's all that pricing is all based on public perception that was created by, you know, Steelers struggling, limping down the stretch and the embarrassing blowout loss in the playoffs to the Browns and just the festering takes this past offseason about Big Ben being washed and this offensive line being terrible, and then Marquise Pouncey, their center, retiring. And it's given too much value to the Steelers, in my opinion. Like, the Steelers are never 4-point road underdogs. The last 7 times this has happened, they're 5-1-1 against the spread. The only ATS loss and push was against the Patriots, who own them, right? This isn't the Patriots. This is the Bills. And 80% of the public and action is on Buffalo to cover here. So we get to fade the public. I think I'm a little nervous that all 3 of us agree, right? Maybe we should just go to the Bills now. but hopefully we're all sharp in this case and taking the points with Pittsburgh, even though, I was going to say trendy dogs get slaughtered, but it's only trendy on the Bet Slipping podcast because according to the betting splits, everyone likes Buffalo. Again, the major concern is Pittsburgh's offensive line, but I don't think Buffalo's defense is built to exploit that. They're 23rd in run-stop win rate. The Steelers brass or front office wants the team to run the ball more. They've added resources to the run game. They drafted Najee Harris, who I think is going to help produce more rushing success, and they're going to help the Steelers at least cover this. And everything Minty said was just perfect. I would hammer the line, and I would sprinkle on the money line here.
All right, works for me. All in agreement. First time to show, I think, so yay.
Good stuff.
All right, the game of the week. I don't care what you two think on that topic. I'm the host, so the game of the week. Cleveland Browns, 11-5 last year at the Kansas City Chiefs, 14-2. Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time at Arrowhead Stadium. The Chiefs -290 favorites. The Cleveland Browns, a live dog at +225. Browns, 6.5-point underdogs, -115. Chiefs, -6.5, -107. And a crazy high total here, 54.5, -115 on the over. So we're expecting 55 or more points. Cleveland Browns are covering 6.5, +225. Like I said, very much in play for me. That defense retooled, you know, directly to combat the Chiefs. I think they make a run at the AFC Championship. I'm not crazy here, but, you know, what do you two think?
I wouldn't bet this game with Minty's money, so I'm good here. I think the Browns did an excellent job in the offseason, the pieces they added. Kevin Stefanski, did he win Coach of the Year last year? I think he did.
Yes.
He's awesome. I have nothing bad to say about him. Baker Mayfield has kind of made me a believer at this point, but the Browns defense is expected to improve to perhaps a top 10 unit, definitely above average. That makes sense, but it's theoretical. They were 24th in defensive DVOA last year, 23rd in defensive EPA per play allowed. You know, I like the additions of John Johnson and Troy Hill in the secondary, and I think they added to the defensive line. They definitely took a flyer on Jadeveon Clowney. So that all sounds good, but, like, is the defense ready to go week one against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? I can't bet money on that. I won't bet money on that. So that's where I'm at. And also, like, Kansas City had the second best variance according to Football Outsiders, which is just consistency of performance. They were the second most consistent team. And Cleveland had the second worst variance, so the second most inconsistent team. So we're going to find out how for real the Browns are this season, but I'm not trying to be a hero in week one with this team. So I'm passing.
Interesting. I am high on the Browns.
There we
as
go.
Well, Aston, I know. I mean, as we know, the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl last year and Super Bowl hangover dating back to the year 2000. They only covered four times, so they're 4-17 against the spread in their seasons. In their next season's Week One opener, I should say, the Chiefs favored by 6.5 points. They're a great winning team, but if you bet on them last season, you probably lost a lot of money because they only covered 6 out of 16 games. The Browns, much better team now. This is a playoff revenge game, a revenge spot. So, yeah, let's go Browns +6.5. Sprinkle a little on the money line, but I think it'll be tough to just win straight up against the Chiefs in Kansas City. This is the highest total set for the week, too. So I don't know what to make of this total. I want to lean over, but that's really high.
Yeah, I'm very scared of that over-under. Mm-hmm. If anything, probably lean toward the over just because that's what I want to see. But for the Browns pick to come true, it's probably got to be an under. But yeah, I feel very strongly about the +6.5 Super Bowl odds here. Again, just touting this matchup even more. +1,300 for the Browns, and the Chiefs are the 2022 Super Bowl favorites at +450. Both teams projected to win 10 plus games as well. Minty, we're in agreement again. Jeff, you know, you got some work to do, buddy. You're slipping out of the game.
Need a little more research there.
real quick about the total, though. The action report that I'm seeing, 98% of the money is in the over, 87% of the action. It's went from 51.5 to 54.5. So I don't know if you guys are still entertaining the over, but to you at home, you are getting the worst of the number if you bet it at this point.
Is that sharps or that's everything?
That's everyone. Everyone is hammering the over, and it that's caused the odds makers to move it up 3 points from the opener. I mean, that's huge, right? So
yeah.
You're late to the party now, but I mean, it could still go over. So we'll see.
Over is never dead. Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Both these teams are +3,000 to win the Super Bowl. Patriots. You know, a lot of people critical of this line. Patriots -160 favorites, -3.5 points. Dolphins get the juice at the +3.5, -130. They're +130 money line dogs. 43.5 for the projected total. Slight vig on the over, very low number here. Largely because the Dolphins, great defense last year, forced a league high 29 takeaways, and they get Mac Jones in his NFL debut. You know, Patriots expected to be better than they were last year, somehow won 7 games. Still a surprising number every time I see it based on watching them play last season. I'm on the Dolphins, both +3.5 and +130. It's a very popular underdog pick this week. Minty, is that accurate or should we be believing in Mac Jones and the Pats?
I go back and forth with this one because I'm really high on the Dolphins for the season and have them at over 9.5 wins +120. I think I have to go with the home favorite here because it's really tough to play in New England, even without Tom Brady. And Mac Jones, I don't know. I kind of think he's an upgrade from Cam Newton. I wasn't too high on Cam Newton. It's a little risky with the rookie quarterback. And my thing is to not bet on rookie quarterbacks because you never know what they'll bring or not bring. New England, this team was half out due to like COVID opt-outs and injuries. But Bill Belichick's still a winning coach. And again, playing at home against a division rival is going to be cake. So I kind of lean the Patriots here, even though I would like to see the Dolphins win.
Yeah, I'm high on the Dolphins this year. You said 3.5. Is that what Tipico has it at? 3.5?
No. Yes. 9.5. Oh, I'm sorry. 3.5. The point spread. Duh. Yeah. Not 3.5 wins, but yeah.
Yeah. Is this 3.5 the point spread on this?
Yeah, it's gone up. It was 1.5 last week. It's just kind of trickled up.
Jeff is adjusting his hat and he's sweating. Okay. He's about to
walking in. Rally
I need to text any New Jersey or Colorado friends that I have and just tell them to hammer this 3.5. I leaned to the Dolphins at 2.5. I kind of like them at 3. I love them at 3.5. I mean, it's a defensive wizard head coach. I'm talking about Brian Flores against a rookie quarterback, right? We saw what Brian Flores did against good quarterbacks last year. I think he's going to have a field day with Mac Jones. We got too high of a line movement going from Cam Newton to Mac Jones. I agree with Minty and I agree with the market that the Patriots are better off in the long run just starting Mac Jones now and his ability to deliver the ball accurately and on time and on schedule and the theoretical helps his offense, but his playmakers are pretty trash. I don't like Kendrick Bourne or Nelson Aguilar. He has an awesome offensive line, and the Dolphins don't have like a sick defensive line, but Brian Flores is just a G at scheming up his defense. I'll take the points, and if Tipico's giving a 3.5, holy shit, I love 3.5 there.
Yeah, there we go. That's 1 point for you. You're crawling back. Minty, look out. Jeff, here's one we can disagree on just because I'm going to go against you. Although knowing you, you're probably going to opt out of this one as well. Denver Broncos visiting the New York Giants. Both teams bad last year. Broncos 5-11, Giants 6-10, but almost made the playoffs. Giants are +133 home dogs. Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater -165 road favorites, laying 3.5 points, but +105 odds on that. Giants are -130 to cover the +3.5 at Tipico. Very, very low total. Lowest of the week, 41.5 points. Even that seems like a struggle for Daniel Jones to get to. Does Daniel Jones get it together here, Jeff? And are the Giants going to look like a competent offensive team to support their strong defense?
Probably not. I'm a lifelong Giants fan. I feel like I should recuse myself from this handicap as well and just go to the bathroom, let you guys talk about this. But no, I'm just kidding. This offensive line looks really bad in the offseason. It was terrible last year. I'm not sold on Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator, nor should anyone else be. I think Daniel Jones has plenty of weapons to work with. And as a Giants fan, I honestly don't care about the offensive line stuff. Like, dude, if we win 10 games this year, Daniel Jones, you're getting $35 million, not the offensive line. So figure it out. But against this defensive line that gets Von Miller back, this defensive line and just the defense in general for the Broncos, I think is going to be a top five unit. I will say that, you know, the Giants getting points at home, I that's the direction that I lean just because, you know, home underdog week one. But, like, you know how much I love Teddy Two Gloves. Like, he's a much better quarterback than Daniel Jones, at least based on what we've seen thus far. I'm not going to lay it with a team that was bad last year on the road. Granted, Giants were a bad team as well, but they covered the number really well last year. That's the best that we can say for them. And I think this defense is going to be sick, this Giants defense. So they could stay within a field goal, but obviously not a lot of margin there. So I pass. How about you, Minty?
I love Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, the things he did for New Orleans when Drew Brees was out. And if you guys didn't know, I was a big Saints fan. I guess I still am. But now I'm like an obligatory like Raiders fan because I live here in Vegas. But I loved watching him play. And I liked watching him play for the Panthers as well. As we know, Teddy is a covering machine. Whether he wins the game or not, he covers a spread 71.43% of the time as a starter. Simply for this trend, I have to go with the Broncos. I actually already bet them at -3. And I'm really upset that I didn't get them at -2.5 earlier. But I got -3 even money. So there you go. I really love this one.
Okay. under 41 and a half. It's hard to take a strong stance on this, on the side here. I don't know. I think the Broncos are the better team, but I want to kind of believe in Daniel Jones and the Giants being able to score occasionally. Under 41 and a half is my favorite play. That's the way to go. We see our route to the over.
I mean, it's just so low. And these offenses, or like the Giants offense, could give points to the Broncos defense, and that would be a crappy way for this to go over. And again, like, I'm bagging on the Giants, right? Because they're an easy target and I don't want to seem too biased, but I think that secondary is going to be nuts. I really do. And, you know, they could give this defense a lot of, or this offense a lot of short field. So I don't know. Like you said in the beginning of your handicap, Essen, this pricing is just kind of perfect. I'm good here.
Yeah.
I have no opinion on the total. It's too low for me.
The pick six backdoor over, very much alive in this one, for completeness. The Broncos plus 3,000 to win the Super Bowl. The Giants plus 7,000.
Packers. A good line. I'm just kidding.
Packers, Saints. Packers minus 2.5 or minus 205 road favorites on the money line, minus 4.5 points. Saints minus 115 to cover the 4.5 is the favored side of that line, but they're plus 165 on the money line. Jameis Winston, able to see, can he keep the Saints in competitive range against reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers and a content Devontae Adams?
I'm taking the Saints plus 4.5 for sure here. Ooh. These teams met last year in week 3, and the Saints were 3.5-point favorites. And they actually had a higher DVOA for the game than the Packers, despite losing 37-30. But this line has went from minus 3.5 with the Saints at home to this year minus 4.5 with the Saints not at home in Jacksonville because of the Hurricane Ida destruction and forest relocation. But if you do the 6-point flip trick as your handicap in this game, if you guys are, I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, but for the listeners at home, that's essentially when you take, when you add 6 points to, or take away 6 points from the road team and give them home field advantage and ask yourself, could they cover that line? So again, this line opened minus 3 for the Packers on the road in the Saints. Now, because of the Jacksonville news or them relocating this game to Jacksonville, it's 4.5. So let's bring it back to minus 3. Do you guys think the Packers should be laying 9 if they were at home against the Saints? I don't think there's that much of a discrepancy between these two teams. And I definitely don't think there's that much of a discrepancy from Drew Brees to Jameis Winston. Granted, I could be putting my foot in my mouth, but I'm high on Jameis Winston. I think it's going to work out. I think Marquez Callaway is going to fill in nicely for Michael Thomas. The Saints don't like Michael Thomas as a person or in the locker room anyways. So I think they're going to be looking to show, you know, that they can move the ball down the field through the passing game without Michael Thomas. Also, there is a huge, absolutely huge drop off between last year's Green Bay Packer offensive line and this year. Last year, they were ranked 4th in the preseason by PFF. This year, they're ranked 16th. And they're going to be missing their 3 offensive linemen from last year's meeting. Again, Corey Linsley and Brian Bulaga went to the Los Angeles Chargers. Linsley was the highest graded PFF center. And David Bakhtiari is on the PUP list, so he won't be playing the left tackle for the Green Bay Packers. And the Saints have absolute maulers up front between Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, and they have some beef in the defensive tackles, even though they're missing one of their guys due to a suspension. So I think the biggest edge in this game will actually be Saints defensive line versus the Green Bay Packers offensive line. If not, I think the other biggest edge will be the Saints offensive line against a Green Bay defensive line, which really wasn't that good. They were bottom 10 in pressure rate, but they were top 10 in sacks. So it was a lot of coverage sacks. I'm taking the Saints plus 4.5.
Woo. Way to just blow me out of the water. I actually really like the Packers minus 4.5. I think this is going to be a great game, though. On top of Browns and Chiefs, I think this is also the game of the week for me. Both of these teams top five in scoring offense. I think New Orleans has the defensive advantage and will be able to keep this game close. And I think the line's just right here. But I have to go with the Packers. Although Jameis Winston looked great in preseason, it's pretty different from regular season. And against an MVP like Aaron Rodgers in what could be his last year in Green Bay, I think he's going to give it his all. It has a lot to prove. I think he's going to come out here all guns firing or all guns blazing, whatever the saying is actually. Now I feel like Jeff.
Yeah, I always so trip I over my words. So don't feel bad about yourself.
I know, me too. we don't really know what to expect from New Orleans this year. I think the safer bet is the Packers, especially at like a neutral site like Jacksonville. Don't know what it's going to be like without the Saints home field, like true home field advantage. So I think Packers minus 4.5 for me.
Yeah, regardless of the improvements we expect from Jameis Winston this year, the threat of him making mistakes is much higher than the threat of Aaron Rodgers making those mistakes. Mm-hmm. The neutral field, I think that, Jeff, you touted how the Packers would be more heavily favored at home. I think the neutral field definitely hurts the Saints as well, probably more than the line has adjusted for. I'm also with the Packers to win by 5 or more. Sunday Night Football. Oh,
real quick, just a response to that. The Hurricane Ida stuff is obviously just terrible. It's terrible, terrible thing. But in the football front, I guess the best thing that could be said about this, as it relates to the Saints, is that the hurricane touched down in the beginning of last week, right? So they've had, this isn't like a relocation in the middle of the week that sent their practice and prep situation like a full tizzy, right? They're going to be adjusted to the terrible, terrible circumstances, but it's accounted for on the line, granted. And I think it's overly accounted. So that was just my last thought. I had that note down, so I wanted to respond.
I guess also okay. I wanted to say this, the Saints suck at covering the spread in their week one openers. And I don't actually have this trend, but it's pretty convincing that the Saints don't cover or just lose straight up in week one. So that's why I have to go against my Saints here and take the Packers.
That's a good point. They rattled off like 5 straight, like week one ATS mm-hmm. or outright losses. So,
yeah.
The Saints suck are my favorite words. I don't really care what comes after that. So you nailed it. We're on the Packers. Sunday Night Football, Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton at the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford, 8:20 kickoff. Rams minus 380 home favorites. Pretty obviously the Bears plus 290 road dogs, minus 7.5 points for the Rams. 46.5 point total. Obviously not expecting a whole lot of production from the Bears on that line. Rams are plus 1,200 to win the Super Bowl. The Bears are plus 5,000. I think we see Justin Fields in this game already. I'm not sure Andy Dalton can make it through one against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I'm on Rams to win by double digits. 7.5 seems fair and playable. Minty, do you counter or agree?
I agree. I do not like Andy Dalton as the starter over Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields could have a much bigger impact for the Bears than Dalton does. I know, I'm usually an anti-rookie quarterback truster, but that being said, the Rams are going to be excellent this year with Matt Stafford under center. Defense, although they lost their defensive coordinator, still have, like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and coached by Sean McVay, who's never had a losing season. So it's got to be Rams to win by 2 touchdowns. Also kind of leaning the under here as well, because the Bears defense isn't terrible. But I like the Rams a lot, and I feel like Jeff is going to say he's on the Bears because the public's taking the Rams, but I don't know.
you don't know me that well, Minty.
Yeah, I don't know that well yet.
We talked about this last year when we were covering, me and Essen were covering the Arizona Cardinals visiting the Dallas Cowboys with that Andy Dalton mm-hmm. massacre game. betting against Andy Dalton in primetime is about the easiest money in NFL gambling. This guy is 6-17 all time in primetime games, 1-11 on the road with 8 double digit losses. He has a 59% completion rate, 78.7 quarterback rating, and 221 passing yards per game. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more at the window. I can't find the player prop, but I'm betting under Andy Dalton passing yards with a buy price of 210 passing yards. So whenever it opens up, if it's 210.5 or higher, I would bet the under on that one. So hopefully we get a good price. But, you know, this number has gotten away from us. I'm seeing nines. I don't know what the typical I'm already forgetting what you said the typical price point was, but I'm seeing
7.5.
Okay, so I kind of like it there. If you can get it in a teaser at 7.5, I've already done that. Well, I tease it down from 7. So I'm just going to stick with that play. It's a big number. I don't see any reason why the Rams don't cover it. The public and the sharps are on it, but I'm just not going to play it. I don't know. I want to see the Stafford thing come together, and it's just so easy to shit on Andy Dalton right now. And, you know, it's never that easy to win money in the NFL gambling. So as easy it is usually to make money betting Andy Dalton or betting against him in prime time, just feels too obvious. So I'm going to stick with my teaser play.
Okay. Monday night, the Las Vegas Raiders finally have some fans in attendance as they host the Baltimore Ravens. Minty, are you going to this one?
I am. I will be in attendance of all home games. I'm a season ticket holder, so I have to go to all games.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Nice. I might be there, okay, too.
Woo!
Oh, wow. There we go. I'm jealous of both of you. although the Bucs don't expect you to be happy by the end of the game, Baltimore -210 favorite land 4.5 points at the Death Star. Moderate total of 50.5 points here, -110 on either side of that. Super Bowl odds, big discrepancy here. Ravens +1,200. The Raiders are +6,000. Win totals, once again, Ravens 10.5, Raiders 6.5. I like the Raiders to cover, not win, because of that home crowd. Minty, you're going to have to do your best to help that come through. Is your home team in play here?
You know, the first thing that stood out to me was the point spread, because I'm surprised Baltimore isn't favored by like 6.5 or more points. They're clearly the better team. And when they won last season, they blew out their opponents. We know the Raiders can score, but I think this Ravens offense is just too deep and too quick to be stopped by Vegas. Big game, full of fans at Allegiant Stadium. I think that will have a lot to do with this home field advantage. Offensively, Raiders pass heavy. Offense averages about 27 points a game. Baltimore not too far ahead of them at 29 points a game. Ultimately, Baltimore was better defensively. Both of these teams, both of these teams were allowing about 4.6 yards per carry in 2020, but the Ravens allowed only 12 rushing touchdowns compared to the Raiders 24 rushing touchdowns, and now they're going up against like a mobile quarterback and the best rushing offense in the league. My best bet is going to be the over 51.5. The Raiders are 13-3 to the over last year, and a lot, like, I'm seeing a little reverse line movement here, is 88% of the bets are on the Ravens to cover. And the line opened at 5.5 and then went down to 4.5. So I kind of like the Raiders kind of because of that, even though you're kind of getting a bad number here. But I do lean the Raiders to cover.
Hell yeah. Little reverse line movement. I love it, Minty. What I go off for my betting splits is pregame.com. And what they have is the price that you said it should be as the original number, which was 6.5. And mm-hmm. It's also showing the same similar betting splits in favor of Ravens and the reverse line movement. You know, it's went from 6.5 to 4.5. So based on that, I can only at best lean to the Raiders, because, you know, I am getting the worst of the number. I didn't join the sharps and take the 6.5. But I think it's going to be a legit home field advantage. I think the Raiders as a underdog are pretty good. I don't have any of the trends or the records in front of me, but I usually like betting the Raiders as an underdog, especially at home. And I think there's going to be a regression year for the Ravens here. Honestly, I don't I can't quite put my thumb on why. Maybe it's injuries. I mean, they have several skill position players that are sidelined. Their first round pick, wide receiver Rashad Bateman, is out. J.K. Dobbins obviously is out. So is Justice Hill. Two of their running backs in the backfield, and then their tight end Nick Boyle is doubtful. And I know they like to run two tight end sets. Ravens also have dinged up offensive linemen and are retooled their offensive linemen, with their best O-lineman being sent to the Kansas City Chiefs, Orlando Brown. Ronnie Staley's coming off of a knee injury. So, again, because of the line movement, I can't say I like this, but I definitely lean the Raiders plus 4.5. No play in the total.
Okay, as a loose rule, I'm going to lean toward unders early in the season here. We saw the inflation of overs last year. The books eventually caught up, and I think the proper training camp and the full preseason this year is going to have the defenses coming out strong. So when in doubt early on in the season, I'm going to play the under, but I don't have a strong stance on this, and the Monday night spot certainly isn't helping matters on that side. So, yeah, I think I go with the Raiders plus 4.5. It's a little bit too high for me. The loss of J.K. Dobbins is the big part for Baltimore, I think. And they kind of were tailoring their offense a little bit to be more toward him running the ball and less Lamar Jackson, perhaps. It's going to be a late pivot, even though I think Gus Edwards is a good back. I'm certainly not concerned about the Le'Veon Bell signing, and nor should anyone be. But, yeah, Raiders keep this respectable in front of home fans. And once again, and enjoy this game, you two. I'll be at home. Jealous.
So you're saying I should not have added Le'Veon Bell to my fantasy team. That's what you're saying.
Correct. I would drop him immediately. I don't even pick anyone else up. Just get him gone.
All right. Well, this has been an awesome podcast. We've done we've handicapped the whole slate. We've run a little longer than I was expecting. But as tradition, we like to button up our previous handicaps in our podcast episode with our best bets and our final segment we like to call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, Minty. I have three plays and a couple player props that I'm looking at here on my bet slip, but I'll let you give out your best bets first.
Okay. My best bets, do I list them all or just one at a time?
You handle it however you want. Like, by one at a time, you mean you're going to list it and then give more analysis?
No, by me doing it and then you go and then me go. I think I'm just going to list them all.
Yeah, do it. And don't take a breath. Okay. Just one sentence. Yes. Bang.
All right. My best bets, Browns plus 6.5, Cardinals plus 3, sprinkle a little on the money line, and Packers minus 4.5. Those are my best bets.
Okay. Lock them all in. Parlays are the way to go, Minty.
Oof. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but I'm probably not going to parlay these.
Okay. Fair.
I'm going to parlay it for. Hey. Actually, not the Packers.
yeah, I'll do a similar style then. I'm on over 48.5 with the Eagles and Falcons, minus 108 odds on that. I think both defenses just suck, and Arthur Smith going to bring some offense to Atlanta, some Sterling needed offense after last season. On the Steelers plus 6.5. Once again, I expect Ben Roethlisberger to be adequate early in the season, and Najee Harris can slow this game down and will at least keep it close if the Steelers come up on the wrong side. I like Miami outright at plus 130 as an underdog against the Patriots. I'm not trusting in Mac Jones or really any part of the New England offense, and the defense has a lot to prove. Yeah, they're getting guys back, but let's see how they do after a year away from football. I'm also on the Cleveland Browns to cover 6.5 just because I want to. I think the defense is well made to go against the Chiefs. I know that's their target for this season, and I think that's their top goal, is to keep these games tight. They have higher hopes after turning around the franchise all in one season.
All right, my best bets on the side, I'm taking the Lions plus 7.5. Dan Campbell's going to have Detroit out there biting kneecaps off. You know, we got a whole bunch of pieces that are returning for the 49ers. Maybe it takes them a game or two to gel. And I think that Dan Campbell's going to come out with the Lions ready to go. And he's had all offseason to work on a game plan. So hopefully he's not outmaneuvered and outgamed by Kyle Shanahan, who figures to be a better coach in the long run. But I think Dan Campbell can get the Lions ready to go for week one. My best bet on the total, I'm going under 45 in the Jets-Panthers game. Again, all this stuff is time-coded, so just go back to my analysis. I'm not going to talk any longer about the Jets and Panthers. This game's going to suck, hence the under 45. My teaser best bet is I'm going to take the Dolphins up to 8.5, and I'll help out Esten. Maybe both of us. You can win the over, and I can win the under on my teaser for the Eagles-Falcons total, teased up to 54.5 on the under. I'm also looking at a couple player props. Like I said, Andy Dalton, my buy price is under 210 passing yards, the under. Rams gave up 210 or fewer passing yards in 10 of their 18 games last season, including the playoffs. And I also am looking at James Robinson over 69.5 rushing yards as my buy price. It hasn't been officially dropped. He's a Jaguars running back. They're playing against the Texans. Texans were last in defensive rushing EPA per play, and they had the third worst defensive success rate. So look for those player props to drop, but that's all I got on my bet slip. That's it? We done? We finished it?
Good for me.
So much fun, man. Money. Time just flew by. Yeah. Best of luck to all the listeners at home. Hopefully our advice or our handicap analysis, whatever, helped you guys make some informed bets. Or maybe you're just going to fade us and you make money that way. Either way, best of luck, fade or following us. Minty, where can people get your content?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at Minty Betts, and also follow Yahoo Sportsbook on Twitter and TikTok at Yahoo Sportsbook, because we got a lot of content coming up this football season.
I know you're an excellent multimedia handicapper. I've seen your TikToks, I've seen your Instagram, I've seen your Twitter. You're just killing it. Much success to you. Hopefully we can bring you back on at some point this season. It's been just a real blast and joy podcasting with you, and you killed it. So appreciate it, Minty Betts. Esten, do you have any parting thoughts?
No, thanks to Minty and thanks, Jeff. And hey, hopefully the trends that supported my opinions come true, and hopefully all others are wrong, as I just always hope trends are. So.
All right. Well, follow Minty's plugs. Check her out on social media. You can follow us on social media, or you can follow our daily handicaps at our website, sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. Thanks for streaming the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Do us a favor, share, subscribe, rate, and review. Until next time, for Esten and I, peace.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.